was going to keep going through Philippians, but we're coming onto the Christmas season, and I had a couple of things I thought that were really, really neat. So we're going to look at the Christmas story, or a part of it, a piece of it anyway. We're in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 this morning. Luke chapter 1. I mean, we get Christmas from Scripture. We understand the meaning of Christmas is Christ came. Christ came from heaven, came to earth, and he came to become a man, to live a perfect life, and yet to die on the cross. So you don't have the birth without the death of Christ, but yet what we're going to look at today is the announcements that came. And what I want to look at specifically are two people, one angel with two people, the angel Gabriel, and he came and he announced to two different people two different births. Both of the announcements were about a birth, but the two different people, it's kind of amazing the difference as we get into this. One announcement that Gabriel had, he announced to Zacharias about the birth of his, the birth of his son, John the Baptist. And the other one, he announces to Mary the birth of Christ, of Jesus. So the one announcement was impressive, to announce to Zacharias that he was going to have a son, because Zacharias was an old guy. Zacharias was an old guy, and his wife was very old, and they didn't have any children. So it was a very impressive announcement. But to Mary, it was an impossible announcement. To Zacharias, it was magical. Magical. Hey, we're going to have children, finally. And to Mary, it was miraculous. To Zacharias, it was amazing. To Mary, it was awe-inspiring. To Zacharias, it was something he requested. To Mary, it was something that she had never thought about even. So we're going to look at this just a little bit. It's going to start in chapter 1 of Luke, and starting in verse 8. This is Zacharias. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointment in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense burning. Right? So, and if you look at verse 7, but they were talking about Elizabeth and Zacharias, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. So here's the situation. This is what's going on. Zacharias and Elizabeth wanted children because in Israel it was seen as a blessing from God if you had children. And yet they didn't have any. And he had, what we're going to find out is he had prayed for that for a long time. But they didn't have any. Well, today was the day that Zacharias was going to be doing something very thrilling. There were a huge amount of priests, right? Twice a day, they would go in and burn incense in the temple. They had the outer court. Well, they would go into the inner court, and then inside of that, where only the priests went, was the holy place. And inside of that holy place was the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest went once a year. But in that holy place, the priest could go in and out, but there was one altar right outside of the Holy of Holies, inside of the holy place, and that altar was the altar of incense. And then twice a day, one of the priests would go in and he would burn incense there. And what that represented was the prayers of the people going up to God. It was a picture, and it was a representation of that. And so on the outside, every time this happened, on the outside, all the people that were there were very reverent, and they were praying. They prayed while this guy went in there. The holy place was not something to be trifled with, and the Holy of Holies was even more so that way. The Holy of Holies, the high priest would go in once a year to offer a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. He would hurry in, do it, and get out. And they had little bells tied to the bottom of his robe just in case if the bell stopped ringing, then they would, they had a hook, and they would go in under the curtain. Thank you. Canopy just didn't sound right. They'd go in under that curtain, and they would grab his foot and pull him out because he was dead. Because you're coming before God, you didn't want to come in there unclean. You didn't want to come in there with the wrong manner, in the wrong way, in any way. Well, the holy place was a very special place, also not as much, but yet Zacharias knew that he could not go in an unworthy manner. He had to do everything just right. And he did, and it was a thrill. It was a thrill of a lifetime, because many of the priests never got to do it. It was chosen by lot to do, and many of them never got to do it. And all the people were outside listening or praying at that time. So let's look at the angel appearance. Look at verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. We find out this is Gabriel, the main spokesman for God, you might say. A lot of times through Scripture we see that an angel appears and speaks. It's Gabriel. Gabriel is the spokesman that God sends so often. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing in the right, to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear gripped him. All right, so what is the natural response to seeing an angel? See, there's so many that have told me, you've seen an angel, and I don't doubt, I mean, what does God say in his word? He says that we have entertained angels unaware. We don't even know. But when an angel comes in this manner, it's with great fear. With great fear. And it happens every time. And so often in Scripture, what you see is that an angel appears and speaks to someone. And what does the angel say? The first thing he says is verse 13. The angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias. Do not be afraid. What did he say to Mary? Do not be afraid. What did he say to even the shepherd? Do not be afraid. What did he say to in the Old Testament so often? Do not be afraid. Why? Because an angel is a scary thing. An angel is a scary being. I mean, in light, it's huge. It's scary. It brings on that fearfulness because we don't know. We haven't experienced that, right? So it was a very fearful thing. And Zacharias here, think for a minute with me. He's a priest. So all of his life, he studied the Old Testament. All of his life, he has taught the Old Testament. He's taught about angels. He's taught about these things. And here, an angel standing in front of him, and he is scared to death. I wanted to say spitless, but I didn't think that sounded good. But he's scared. Anyway, fear comes over him, which is a natural response. So the angel says, do not be afraid. But look what the angel says. He says it in verse 13. For your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, and to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is an amazing message. You know, Gabriel gives this amazing message that he requested, that Zacharias requested. If you look back in verse 13, it says, for your petition has been heard. Your petition has been heard. So Zacharias, I'm assuming for most of his married life, has prayed for a child. Has prayed for a child. And finally, this is answered. And so here, Zacharias is going, oh, wow. And then and he tells, the angel tells him exactly how this is going to be an answer from Old Testament prophecy. You see, that's the amazing thing. Zacharias, a priest who understood the Old Testament, who read the Old Testament a lot, here the angel was telling him, hey, you are going to be part of a prophecy that is fulfilled. You are going to be part of something that is amazing. And you're going to have a child. And it's going to be joyful. And you're going to rejoice and be glad. And look what John's going to do. You're going to name him John. And he's going to help his people. He's going to make them ready for the coming of the Lord. He's going to be a forerunner. That forerunner just like Elijah. That was prophesied in the Old Testament. And he even gives the prophecy from the Old Testament, verse 17, to turn the hearts of their fathers back to their children, disobedient to the attitude of the righteous. Excuse me. So he is showing him, he's showing this priest who understood prophecy that, hey, you're going to be part of this fulfillment of prophecy. So what was Zacharias' response? Oh, this is cool. Oh, this is great. Hey, I can't wait. No, that's not what he did. Look what he says. Look what he says in verse 18. Zacharias said to the angel, how will I know for certain? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. You see, he didn't say, how's this going to be? Because I'm old. No, he says, how will I know? How am I going to know that what you're telling me is true? Think about that. Think about that response. Because Gabriel is obviously an angel. I mean, Zacharias was scared. He is obviously from God. He obviously has a great message to tell. It's obviously a fulfillment of prophecy. All of these things are so obvious to us because we can look back at it. But to Zacharias, he's thinking, yeah, all of these things are obvious, but you know what? How am I going to know for sure? He doesn't say, how is this going to happen? Because he knew how it would happen. He says, how am I going to know this is going to happen? In other words, I need a sign. I need some kind of sign. So Gabriel says, you want a sign? I can give you a sign. So Gabriel does. Look what he says. I know we're hurrying through this, but I want you to see the responses. All right, that's what I'm after. So in verse 19, the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you want a sign? You're going to be silent. You shall be silent, unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. You didn't believe my words. There's the problem. Zacharias, a man of God, a priest, knew the scriptures, knew the prophecies. The angel comes, obviously an angel, obviously from God. Great news, we're going to have a baby. And here's what he's going to do, because he's going to fulfill prophecy. And you're sitting there saying, well, you know, how am I going to know this for sure? I'm not sure you're telling me the truth. I'm not sure I can believe you, okay? And Gabriel said, look, you want to say, here's how you're going to know the truth. You're not going to be able to say anything until this happens. And that's what happened. That's what happened. It came true exactly that way. All right, so there's one instance of Gabriel, this mighty angel, giving a message, a wonderful message. And it was an exciting message. It was a magical message. It was an impressive message. It was an extraordinary message. To have a baby. When they're that old, and they can finally be blessed with a baby. And here's what that baby's going to do. It's not just a baby. It's going to be an amazing baby. John the Baptist was called one of the greatest men who ever lived by who? By Christ. By Christ himself called him that. And he was filled with the Spirit even in the womb. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing. Remember the Old Testament when the Spirit would come and go. And we're still under Old Testament times here. We're still under that dispensation, that era. And the Holy Spirit came upon, and we may see that next, I doubt if we'll see it next week. But anyway, when Mary came to Elizabeth, the baby jumped in her. The baby jumped. Why? Because he's filled with the Spirit, even in the womb. So John was an amazing prophetic answer to what the Bible says. The Bible said it. And Zacharias is looking at him saying, you know what? Yeah, I know the Bible says that. I know the scriptures say that. I know that there's supposed to be a forerunner. I know he's going to be like Elijah. But you know, you got to show me that this is going to be true. I just cannot really believe that. All right? Now, later on, Zacharias believes extremely strongly. Right? But initially, here's his response. Now, let's go over to Mary. Let's look at Mary's response. In verse 26, same chapter. Now in the sixth month, that would be when Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Now, there's an important detail here of the descendants of David. Why is that so important? Well, because all through the Old Testament scripture says the king is going to be descended from David. The king is going to be from the line of David. And we see that in the genealogies in the New Testament with Joseph and with Mary. We see the genealogies and they come from David. That is an important point. But look what he says. Verse, the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. You know, the way it sounds there, he came in and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And she was just going, you know, that just surprises me. I don't really understand it. That's how we, think. No, that's not what it is. The word perplexed means she was greatly afraid. She was afraid. Had the same reaction that Zacharias has. Why? Because it's the same angel in the same way. It's an extraordinary thing. So she had that same fear. Again, very frightening. But what's the difference here? The difference is she is going to be married. In this culture, she was probably between the age of 12 and 16, most likely. We're not told exactly. But probably between the age of 12 and 16. She was betrothed to Joseph. She was going to marry him. That's a young girl. And the girls weren't as pushed in understanding the Old Testament and memorizing the Old Testament and knowing the Old Testament. The young boys, by the time they were 12 or 13, had to quote the first five books of the Bible. Quote them. So it was taught them tremendously. But the girls, not so much. Right? But here this young girl has an angel come in, and look at the first thing he says. Because this is a scary thing for her. She was perplexed. The word perplexed literally means deeply troubled, very much upset. She was very much upset at this, deeply troubled, because when Gabriel came in, he didn't come through the door. Or he didn't knock on the door. "Hey, can I come in?" No, he was there. He was there in light in an amazing way. And she was scared. But look what he says. Because this is what she was pondering. Look what he says. "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Greetings, favored one. The word favored ones literally means graced one. Greetings, graced one. Remember, grace is unmerited favor. It's only used one other time in the Bible, this specific word. It's used in Ephesians, I believe. Ephesians chapter 1. He says, this is what Paul is telling us that God has given us. "He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, which he freely graced us with." freely bestowed upon us, freely gave. And that's the word here, graced one, greetings, favor one, somebody that God is giving something, gracing something with. And she's pondering this. The word pondering is, in the original language, dia logizomai. It's dia, which means through, and logizomai, our word logic. We get our word logic, to reason through something. So she's trying to reason this through. Here, this young girl is going, why me? What's going on? Wait a second. What the? Why is he doing that? How can I be graced? What is he calling me graced for? I'm engaged to be married, but... Right? So she is very perplexed. Zacharias, he knew the prophecies. She doesn't know a lot of this stuff. He knew how the angel appeared in the Old Testament to so many people. I don't think she had all of that knowledge. Zacharias was older. He had life experience. He was a priest. This is a young girl. No life experience. Not the training that he had. So she's pondering this. She's trying to figure it out. Look what it says, verse 29. And she was very perplexed. Okay, we went through that, right? Verse 30. The angel said to her, do not be afraid. Standard greeting. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor, and that's the word grace, with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. Right? So that's an amazing message, but it's more than amazing. This is an impossible message. Because she's looking at that saying, one little issue. All right? One little issue. Look at what it says. Verse 34, Mary said, how can this be since I'm a virgin? I want you to see here, she wasn't questioning whether or not what he said was true. She was questioning the method. How can this be? Never been with a man. How do you become pregnant? How can this happen? Right? Gabriel understood that that was not unbelief. And in fact, later on, if you go down to verse 45, I believe, 45, yeah, this is Elizabeth talking about Mary, and she says, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to her by the Lord. Blessed is she who believed. So her initial reaction was to believe. She believed what this angel said. Didn't understand how. So she asked how. Look what he says, because he answers her, verse 35. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. Right? Did you catch that? He made it perfectly clear, right? Did you get that? In verse 36, I believe. No, 35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And she says, oh, I get it. Now I understand how I'm going to get pregnant. Did you understand how she could get pregnant there? I'm thinking she's going, oh, I don't know anything about what he just said. That's completely Greek to me. I do not understand a word that he just said to me. All of that was explained made no sense at all to her. Because it doesn't even make sense to me. And yet, look what her reaction is. Verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. In other words, I'm dependent upon whatever God says here. I'm throwing myself on whatever God says because I don't understand it at all. Gabriel could tell the difference. And you know, Gabriel even gave her a sign. Just like he gave Zacharias. He gave her a sign and said, hey, you know what? Elizabeth is pregnant. Elizabeth, your cousin, she is pregnant. And she was called barren, but now she's pregnant. But there's something I think a lot of times when we go through this story, you know, we've heard this and we've heard it, and it's a wonderful story. But the thing is, what he was telling her was completely impossible. It was completely out of any realm of thought. Mary here did not understand it at all. And yet, she believed what he said. But look at the next verse, because this is what I believe we miss a lot. We miss this. Verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. And we look at it and say, well, you know, he's just saying that she can get pregnant without being married. No, he is to a point, but that's not what it says. Nothing will be impossible, because this actually goes back to what we talked about last week. This is a proof text to what we talked about last week, where last week we were in Philippians. And it says, whatsoever things are true, remember? And we looked at the word true, and we looked at what is true, and we looked at the fact that God's word is true, and everything in God's word is true, and we can trust God's word. But look what this says. It says nothing shall be impossible. The word impossible is adunata. It's dunamos, which is the word for dynamite. We get our word for dynamite from this boom type stuff. Power, huge power. But if you put an ah in front of it in the Greek language, that makes it completely powerless. No power. He says, nothing can have no power. Nothing in nothing, God is no power. And that word nothing, there's the key. The word nothing is actually three words. This is so much fun. I get into this stuff and it's just, I get so excited. Because the word nothing is three words. It's not all, or it's no, all, and word. U, pas, and rema. No, all, and word. The word for word in Scripture, usually it's logos, which is the word that is used for Jesus. But this word rema is talking about the spoken word or the written word. And he says, nothing that I have written, nothing that God has written before that's going to happen is without power. In other words, everything that God wrote, God has power to accomplish. And what did Gabriel tell her? Everything God wrote. You're going to have the Son of God. You're going to have this wonderful being that is going to save his people. All of this. This was miraculous. This was impossible. This was something that could not happen. Yet God said, every word that I've written is going to be true. Everything I've written, I have power to do. Scripture is truth. God gave us his truth. You know, it's amazing that the whole of the universe that God made. I was just flipping through Fox News, and it had on there that the telescope, you know, they found a galaxy that was only 400 million years after the Big Bang. Okay. I wonder how they counted that. But anyway, they saw this huge galaxy somewhere way out there. You know, we just keep discovering that there's more and more and more and more to this universe. That it's bigger and better than what we even thought about. And God's the one who created it. Like that. By saying something. And it happened. And that God who did all of that sent his Son for us. And Gabriel came to Mary and he told this little girl that. And you know what? She believed him. She believed him. And she said, whatever you say, whatever you say, do it. She believed him. She depended on God. She had every reason to doubt, just like Zacharias. In fact, you look at Mary, her reputation was on the line. In a bad way. In a bad way. Here's this young gal who's betrothed to Joseph and she ends up pregnant. Her reputation was on the line. Zacharias, his reputation was on the line. In a good way. Hey, your wife got pregnant. You're blessed. You look at Mary. She wasn't married. She could be put to death. She could at least be divorced at that point. In fact, that's what Joseph was considering doing to help her so she wouldn't be put to death. In a bad way. And yet, Zacharias, he would be seen as blessed, finally. You look at Mary, she would need to explain something supernatural in a natural way to her parents, to her friends, to everyone around. She's got to explain this supernatural thing going on in some kind of natural way. Zacharias, he didn't have that problem. He wouldn't need to explain anything, and he would be congratulated. You know, when she says, "Let it be done to me," that's complete submission. She believed God. Now in all this, the fulfillment was of what people thought would be impossible in the Old Testament scriptures. A Messiah and a forerunner and all of that. They were looking for that. They were hoping for that. But what they wanted was a military leader that would take them out of... And yet, they both got such good news. And Zacharias, with all of his wisdom, with all of his age, Zacharias didn't believe the good news. And his was just extraordinary news. It wasn't impossible news. And yet Mary believed, even when it was impossible news. Why do you think the scripture says, if you don't have the faith of a child, you cannot be part of the kingdom of God? Because Mary's response was, "Let it be done to me according to whatever you design." Even though she knew her life would be hard, she knew she would have to explain this in ways that she couldn't explain it. You know, last week we looked at whatever is true, the Word of God, Scripture, what Christ referred to all the time. So how can all of Scripture be true? Even Revelation. I mean, we're going to get into Revelation after the first of the year sometime. And there's going to be all sorts of different, various opinions. So how can Revelation, and you're going to see stuff in Revelation that you're going to like, oh, four-headed what? A horseman what? How's this look? And you're going to look at that and say, well, that's, how in the world could all that? What God foretold to be will be. Because what he said, wrote, is not impossible with God to accomplish. God's word is fully, 100%, completely true and will happen because God is not, impotent. Let's go with that because that means not potent, right? That means not powerful. God is not powerful. That's a double negative. All right, in Greek, double negatives are good. All right, so let's go with that. God is powerful. He's powerful enough to do whatever he says in his word, whatever he's predicting. And that's what he told Mary, specifically. He said, nothing is impossible. Not one word that I've given is impossible. So how can it be true? Because God gave it. And there is nothing false in God. There is no error in God. Mary simply believed Gabriel. Zacharias didn't, for a while. He ended up doing it. Mary was so overwhelmed that if you look in verses 46 to 56, you can just see it pours out of her. Praise just pours out of her. It's called the Magnificat, what Mary says about this. So what do we learn? What do we learn? We learn that belief and dependence are vital in living a steadfast Christian life. They're vital. God's word is true. God said it. It is absolutely true. Not any word of it is impossible with God. He will do it. Trust his word, just as Mary did. Not like Zacharias did the first time. In every circumstance, know that your God will accomplish what his word says. And what does he say? He will never, never leave us. He will never, never, never forsake us. Five nevers there. That's five negatives. That's cool. That's even better. Right? That's what he says. But in all of this, he did something completely impossible. Sent his son through a virgin, sent his son to this earth to live and to die and to rise again so that we can have salvation, a relationship with him. Folks, if you've never trusted Christ, you can be part of his family. You can be someone who calls the Almighty God who created the universe, Daddy, Father. You can be part of it. You can have a relationship with him. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, please consider giving your life to him. Let him be in control of it. Let him take your life and use you for his glory. If you have trusted in him as your Savior, then learn from Mary's response. Whatever is part of your will, God, that's what I want. And what you say in your word is absolutely true. I can trust your word. Get into the word. Read your word. See what it says. This Christmas, understand that Christ came not for God's sake, but for ours. But he came out of obedience to his Father because he loves us. He loves us. Isn't that cool? We have a God who loves us. Let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for that love. It's overwhelming. Lord, you came and you sent Gabriel, which was a majestic, huge, majestic being, Lord, that scared everybody he came in contact with. And yet, Father, you gave extraordinary message to Zacharias. You gave an impossible message to Mary. And Zacharias didn't believe at first. Mary, she did. Lord God, help us to have that type of heart. To believe what your word said. To believe that everything in your word is true. And everything from your word will happen. Because not one word, not any word, not all the words are impossible with you. Every word in your word is possible with an all-powerful God. I thank you so much for giving us your word. We love you. Father, as we celebrate Christmas this year, help us to remember you sent your son because you love us. And everything in your word is true. We love you in Christ's name. Amen.